Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Friday the 13th.
Oh, it is Friday the 13th, isn't it?
Beware.
Oh.
Be careful. Careful out there. Jason might be lurking. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, the 13th edition of the show. Broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Lots to get to over the next 3 hours as we look ahead to an action-packed again, and obviously, no Falcons on Sunday. The Falcons wait till Monday night to try to avenge their loss to the Steelers last weekend. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, did not realize it was Friday the 13th until Bo just went ahead and played that that music right there, which I always, you know, think about everybody. It's Crystal Lake and uh-huh. and everything like that, and a man power walking, catching people that are running because they're tripping over branches all the time. And then it's like, okay.
Nobody worse at running than people running away from
a man walking. It's okay. We know that there was 30 people killed here last summer, but you know what? We're going to go out there this summer anyways and have a good old time, and maybe it won't happen to us.
Prices are cheaper because of it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the cabins went down $200.
The murder discount. Yeah, we got to get out there.
Whatever. Yeah,
if you had to choose, between Jason, between Mike Myers, and between Freddy Krueger, which is the one?
Michael Myers. I'm going to beat him. Like, I can't. You're going to go to sleep.
That's true. Freddy's going to get you in.
Yeah, you're going to go to sleep, but I'm just talking about, like, I ain't falling. You notice they never had anybody athletic in there.
No, that's true.
You know, they had a bunch of apes. had a bunch of apes in there. They never had nobody with no athleticism like this.
I will say, though.
And I'm a big man.
You are. You also know what happens sometimes when folks that look like you are in horror
movies. Well, we already know they dying.
You guys go first.
Yeah, we already know they dying. You know what I mean? Like, as a brother, you waking up, hey, Jerome. You want to go out to Crystal Lake with it? First of all, black folks, we ain't going no damn lake to camp.
Yeah.
You know,
the answer is no.
No.
I don't want to go.
I ain't going out there, man. But, yeah, happy hour Friday. We are in a bar, so we're going to have a good time. And big weekend of football, like you said. The Falcons don't play till Monday, so we'll pretty much give our keys and everything on Monday morning and everything for
still
that game.
Plenty to talk about, obviously, plenty to talk about to Kirk from yesterday.
Like you said, they went on spoke to the media, the quarterback, and the offensive coordinator. A lot of stuff that me and you were talking about after Overreaction Monday, they all said.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
I'm not saying don't listen to the quarterback and offensive coordinator press conferences, but if you don't have time, just listen to us.
Yes.
Because we're going to tell you what they're going to say before they say it.
Yes.
And the reason, they give us the script
and
or what?
The reasoning behind why the game went the way it went on Sunday.
Yep.
As being, you said, after overreaction Monday, leading up to today and leading up their presser yesterday.
It was interesting to hear a couple of the different, explanations, whatever, but just like further detail on some of what had gone on and what will continue to go on. I mean, Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins both talked about the pistol being something that they've been working on
since
the way back to April.
Okay.
They've been working on it throughout the summer, and we did see some of it.
Right.
I don't think anyone thought it was going to be that much.
Right.
But he doubled down on it and said, it's something that we think gives us a really good opportunity. Now, the one quote that I didn't love from him was regarding – oh, I wish I had it in front of me. I scrolled down too far. Here it is. This is from Zach Robinson. Last year with the Rams, we kind of realized, man, you kind of have everything at your disposal from the pistol.
Yep.
It's just different because you don't have those dudes. It's a different group of dudes.
Did I not say that?
That's what you've said every single time.
It's been irritating me since the whole Rams freaking quotation as far as Rams offense.
Yeah.
You want to run the Rams style. The Rams run the pistol a whole lot last year. All right? And so you're bringing yourself over here. You had success in this offense, so you want to bring it here. The offense itself, the terminology is still the same. It's still the same whether he's under center or whatever. That hasn't changed anything other than you know that you're in the pistol, under center, and in a shotgun. But all the other terminology is the same. It goes universal through all of the offenses all of the coaches and staffs that run this specific offense. But they wanted to come here and do it. As we mentioned, they didn't just put this in the game plan. This is something that they've been working with Kirk since he's gotten here. And I love the whole, he's hurt because his right foot is up or he's in a square stance.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
And he just told you why he likes to do it.
Yes, that part was that was refreshing.
Okay. That's another clip that I don't have to get sick anymore because.
Yeah. Now I will say this. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Good work by all the social media detectives for noticing. Right, they noticed that his feet were in slightly different positions than it had been previously. I will say that people probably were a little bit guilty of confirmation bias, like they wanted it to mean something.
Yes.
So then they found all this stuff determined
another
in their
video
minds
that Raider does not need to get.
Yeah, I don't need any more of those videos.
Okay.
And our response, or my response, your response kind of differently on Monday and Tuesday both was, I bet there's a reason for it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I bet it's not just Kirk Cousins can't put his right foot forward because his Achilles hurts. And then he talked about it yesterday. He was like, when I was in the pistol previously back in 2013 when I was backing up RG3 and I was in that, it was a little bit easier for me to have my feet square in that formation so I could sort of see this way, that way, get the handoff out, whatever. He also said when he was in the shotgun previous to Kevin O'Connell, he was a left foot forward guy.
Right.
Then Kevin O'Connell convinced him to be a right foot forward guy. It's personal preference.
And it is. And it's personal preference and it's coaching and all those different things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now you go back to
so
other.
Irrelevant.
Now, I don't understand why you did not play action pass with Kirk. I'm going to go there because that's what he does best.
But 100%.
If he's smart, which I don't, I'm pretty sure you don't become an offensive coordinator in the NFL and not be a smart person. He's going to incorporate some of that. I think that gives him a better opportunity to be successful. This ain't going nowhere.
No, they're still going to run out of it.
Yeah, they're still going to run out of it.
And they should because if it was that easy to abandon something, like if they were going to abandon something that quickly because of what the Steelers were able to do to you defensively, then it wasn't a very good plan in the first place, and you might have bigger concerns than just what happened against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Digging in more. Okay, so they gave some explanations to some questions that we had coming out of Sunday. I'm still concerned about some of the kind of the nitty-gritty details of, you ran pistol 22 times, but when you did that and you ran out of it, you only ran out of it. You didn't run out of shotgun. You only ran out of pistol, and when you're in that formation, you ran 81% of the time.
Yep.
That's already a really good defense. You're basically telling them, based on what your formation is, what play you're about to run. That's tough.
And that's where he needs to adjust off of it. And that's what we talk about from week one to week two. Okay, Philadelphia watched, because it's only one game, so they watched that game hundreds of times, hundreds of clips, everything like that. Now you got to go out and we'll see what kind of offensive coordinator you are. How do you adjust off of that? Because you know that they're game planning for that right there in the pistol and everything. Now you got to be able to do your play action off of it. You got to be able to do your boots off of it. You got to be able to move and everything like that. I'm still going to blame it on Rust until I'm shown otherwise this week. Now, if he's still a statue, because he did move in the pocket, the touchdown play, he moved to his left. He got out of trouble and everything like that.
When there was time to move, he moved.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, just wasn't.
These guys got to do their job on the outside, get open. I mean, that's going to be one thing.
That's right.
We said, if they can block up this front, which is good, it's not like last week. They don't have a Watt on that defense up there in Philly. They can complete passes. This secondary is okay. All right? It's not great, but it's okay. They can get after these guys. But, yeah, it starts up front with the protection. And that's what I want to see more than anything is the protection and how they how this offense has grown from one week to another. How has Kurt knocked the rust off more than the other? Because it was it's four quarters, 25 minutes of offense. I'm not ready to throw this offense down the two after that. You know, and so, I mean, now Monday and I don't see what I need to see then I'll come back and reevaluate what I say and what I'm saying right now. But right now, I just think that, you know, they're – because it's always – we always talk about it. It's always easy in practice to make it look good because there's no rush. You're not having to block a guy for all these seconds and everything. In the game, it happens faster. They haven't played together as an offense in a game. They did it yesterday – I mean, I'm sorry, last Sunday. So hopefully that was something of a preseason to knock this rush off and they can go forward.
I'll be honest with you. All of the conversation about the offense that we've had this week, I mean, it's all justified. They played terrible, spent all the money on it and all that kind of stuff. Everything we just said and have said all week kind of boils down to, okay, well, now you just have to prove that was an anomaly.
Right.
You have to prove that was rust, whatever. Okay, let's see that.
Yep.
This game, to me, beyond needing to see that improvement from the offense, this is going to be a tough day for the defense.
Hell yeah.
Like, they did a nice job against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was on a backup quarterback. They absolutely scaled down what they were attempting to do offensively when they realized their defense was going to hold the Falcons' offense to what they were going to hold them to and got incredibly conservative and held them to six field goals. This Eagles offense, man, like, they scored 34 points in that game in Brazil?
And left points on the field.
They left probably two touchdowns on the field, a couple bad turnovers from Jalen Hurts. Now, that's good. Maybe you can force him to make some bad turnovers, and that can be a benefit because 3 turnovers to 0 week one is a big part of why you lost that game to the Steelers.
Yes.
But this is a monumental task for this defense to take on. They got weapons everywhere, and they added Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And by the way, first game on his new team, he scored 3 touchdowns.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's when I'm looking at this matchup and I'm looking at Monday, I'm like, I just have to assume the offense is going to be better.
It has to be.
Because it can't be. You know, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to assume the offense is going to be better. Okay. This defense is going to have to show up and be good, man.
The offense got to score some points.
Yes.
They got to score some points in this game. And, you know, we go back. There's a lot of narrative we know about the Kirk Cousins primetime record. And
That's true.
He hasn't fared well against the Eagles. And it's true.
Has he been bad against the Eagles, too?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a whole lot that's going to go into this football game. But, you know, they got an extra day to prep and everything, get ready for it. But, yeah, they got to – I don't have to say – they got to play better. They got to play better offensively to give them a chance to be in this football game. Because this game – if this offense is like last week, it's going to get ugly.
If they play like they played last week on offense, they're going to lose by 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Easily.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Come back, tell you what's trending here on a Happy Hour Friday. Just another scary moment last night on Thursday Night Football from a guy we've seen moments like this from before, the Tua Tagovailoa concussion. We'll talk about it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Ah.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, you know, it takes time, but I feel like we kind of crossed that threshold a while back, and I think what you have to get back into is the red jerseys off. It's live football, not from an Achilles standpoint, but just from playing quarterback standpoint, that, you know, we've got to get, you know, having not played since week 8 last year, you just got to get back into that mode, which practice, you try to simulate the best you can, but it's always hard to create that.
So that's one of the quotes from Kirk Cousins yesterday as he met with the media, obviously talked about what went wrong on Sunday against Pittsburgh. He was asked about, of course, right there, the Achilles. Sounds like, you know, similar answers to what we'd been getting about it and right. What they had said leading into the season, not surprisingly. Again, no one was going to come out and be like, we were wrong.
Yep.
We got it wrong, went out there on Sunday, and it was terrible, and that's why I didn't play good and all that kind of stuff. So he said that. I mean, he answered the questions about being in the pistol and why his stance looks the way that it looks and all that kind of stuff. Exactly what you would have expected him to say.
Right.
So now
you got to go play.
They got to go play.
Yep.
They don't play till Monday. Now they got to go play on Monday. And hopefully we're not asking the same stuff next week. Because if we're asking the same stuff next week, then it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as easy to chalk up to something fixable.
I'm not going to be naive to think that he's all the way back from the Achilles. Like, I don't think the Achilles is going to rupture anything, but he's still got to work on everything that goes with the rehab process of it. And he just happened to be playing live football games while he's doing that.
Gets a very good team.
And gets a very good football team. And so, yeah, they're going to have to come out there. Just like we talked about last week, the rhythm is going to be the biggest thing for offense.
Yep. Yep.
And it's harder to get a rhythm when y'all ain't played together. And then you got a guy who's disrupting that rhythm on every third play. And so you got to figure out a way to get that going. Obviously, it helps to get the run game going early, winning on first down, you know, positive plays on first down so you can have your array of plays because it's hard to call third and sevens and third and tens a whole game. They got to win on third downs, and they got to get off the field on third down. I don't know if – I mean, I think Pittsburgh had like 17 third downs, you know, so that means they're possessing the football to be able to do that.
God, and I bet they picked up a lot of them.
I think it's eight.
Eight of them, the half. That's good.
Yeah, and
that's
so good. You got to figure out a way to win on first down on both sides of the football.
Both sides of the ball, Because obviously we're talking about what the defense is able to do.
Right.
I mean, Arch had that great number when we talked to him on Wednesday about however many third downs they had, 10 third downs or whatever it was, seven of them being longer than third and 10 because you're just working backwards on first and second. You're just, I mean, no team, no matter who you are, whether you played together for years, whether it's your first game together like it was for the Falcons on Sunday, no team's going to be able to overcome that time and time again. And, you know, maybe that Maybe a little play action.
Maybe.
Loosen the defense up on first and second down.
It damn sure helps when you have
Sometimes
one of the
– Sometimes it does.
It helps, especially when you have one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
You know, from a standpoint of that's what makes him as good as he's been.
Yeah.
But We'll see.
I bet we'll see some.
I mean, just maybe I don't want to say out of spite because I don't want you to do something.
Yeah, don't do the Kyle Shanahan.
You know what I mean? Don't do that.
Do the thing that you think is going to work and do it a lot and make it work and then win the game and then we'll all be happy. All right. So last night, Thursday Night Football, we talked about the matchup, kind of went the way these matchups have gone. The Bills
just mauled them.
Mauled them. And great game by James Cook. 3 touchdowns in the first
half.
Way to
go, Cookie.
Love to see that. No one liked to see what you saw in the second half of that game, something we've seen many times, unfortunately, with Tua Tagovailoa. And now the conversation shifts to what's next for him. Here's Mike McDaniel after the game.
I think it's important to approach each and every situation to the, you know, much like approach every injury with it, which is basically, all right, we're going to handle this particular situation with this particular player. You know, every situation is unique to its own. So, you know, I think there's, for me, I'm not worried about anything that's out of my hands in terms of, I'm just worried about the human being. And, you know, he'll drive the ship when we get the appropriate information, but it's day-by-day health.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's another situation where this young man goes down and it's live on TV on a standalone game.
Yep.
And you see the defense's posture, defensive, whatever you want to call it, when he goes down. I've seen that with my own two eyes. It's a scary situation. It really, really is. And it's you just hope to doing well. He left the stadium. They said he didn't go to the hospital or anything because I think in Cincinnati he had to go to the hospital and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, it's always hard, and I saw a lot of former players, current players, you know, talking about he needs to retire and all those different things. I'm not here to say that because I know what – he's a football player, and he's going to pass the protocol. He's going to pass it. Now, the Dolphins, we know about the money and the injury guarantees and all that. Good thing he got a damn contract, his long-term deal a month ago.
Yes.
But – you know, when it comes to a situation with these concussions and everything like that, it's always, you know, do you protect the player from himself? If I'm the Dolphin, I put him on IR. Give me a month so I don't got to answer questions about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's the right thing to do from that standpoint as far as
I'm not saying they're going to do it.
I also think it's the right thing to do just in terms of letting him recover and seeing what it's like next week.
Yep.
And seeing what it's like the week after that. Because a guy with
multiple reported. That's the thing about it because people don't – everybody – I've had numerous concussions, probably, but I'm talking about the ones you report. Now, it's easier to report this because you saw it. But I saw Chris Lindstrom last week. I saw when I tweeted out, I said, "Oh, he's done. He's out. Go get him out the game." And luckily, somebody buzzed down before the play was snapped, and they got him out because he got a knee in the back of the head. You know, so they got better things than that. And these players nowadays do a better job of reporting it. We was like, "Hey, shake it out. Let's go and play." The thing that he's got, as a man, he's got to look at it from this standpoint as far as my family. You know, we got the bag. We got the money now. I don't know with the interest guarantees, all that, whatever. But I'm just talking about just looking at those beautiful kids that his wife walked in that press conference with. You got to think about them. You got to think about her. But ultimately, it's him. Does he want to continue to play? I don't know Tua, but I think if he clears protocol and they say he can play, he's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know him either. I'm just going based off of what – we've seen, right, and what we've heard and all that from him. He loves playing football.
He loves playing football.
And he's really good at
it. Yes.
And unfortunately, his response to this might be, it happens. It happens in the game. I mean, obviously, didn't happen last year.
Yep.
Luckily.
But
for him.
His first time, he didn't take risk like this.
He was a little bit safer last year. He was a little bit bigger last year. He slimmed down a little bit, partially because he said he wanted to be more mobile.
Yeah.
And then he gets in the situation and doesn't get – I mean, he's trying to get a first down. I get it.
And I'm yelling at the –
got to get down.
Get out to
you
it.
And it's crazy that
it was DeMar Hamlin and everything like that. I'm yelling, get out to it. And so I don't know where this goes right here. I'm not ready to talk about him walking away from the game because that's something that he has to design. Even if the conversation with his wife and his mama and his daddy, it's ultimately going to be his decision.
Yeah, it's not exactly. It's no one's decision but his. The Dolphins aren't going to tell him to walk away. They're going to rely on doctors.
Yep.
The doctors are going to clear him eventually, and they're going to have to make that choice.
Yes.
DeMar, it's so, I don't know if ironic or poetic or whatever the right term is for it, but that DeMar Hamlin was the one. Now, he didn't even really hit him. Tua kind of ran into him. But for them to be the ones that collided on that play, DeMar Hamlin died on the field and then played.
Yep.
That's what football players do. Football players are wired to
differently.
Whatever. Like,
wired differently,
I'm tough. I'm going back out there. Yes. It is what it is. Like, and it's so easy for folks. And that's why I'm glad you brought this up. A lot of former players who actually are or were wired like that, talking about it, I think holds a lot more weight than folks like me. But I don't – I mean, I've been around football players and covered them for a long time. They want to play football.
Yeah.
They want to get back out.
And that was the thing I was saying about certain – I'm like, don't sit up there and say do the right thing to her. You know, I don't like that.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Retire?
That mean? Why,
but he don't want to retire. Yeah. And he's going to be cleared to play. Now, that's my thought process. Now, I don't know what's going to be like when he gets to a private, the private people and everything like that, what they say. Because they're the ones that are going to say, you can't play again. We can't play you again. They're going to have to tell him that. I don't think right now where he is in his career, I don't think he walks away from it because everything you said. We're just wired differently. We know what it's like. Like, I won't – you remember the other day, I was like, damn, I'm hurting today for some reason. I never give up, and you could ask any other football player, they would never give up the pains and everything and aches that they feel right now. They would never give it away because they know why they got it. And so it's just a situation. The head is different. I understand that.
Yep.
And we know more about the concussions and all this other stuff. But this is going to be a situation where it's going to be on two unless this damn doctor says you cannot play again. If he's cleared – if he goes to the Dolphins players, I mean, Dolphins organization, everything, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Which is what
now,
he does.
If the doctors do say that you cannot play again, he's got $124 million more to get.
Yes.
There's a part of his contract that's guaranteed for injury.
Yes.
He's already got $43 million guaranteed this year because of the signing the new deal and signing bonuses and all that kind of stuff. If he's medically forced to retire, then he gets $167 million.
Right.
Which, great, good. I mean, he earned it. He was awesome.
Right.
Obviously, he would have liked to have played out that contract and won games and all that kind of stuff.
But
he's not going to be able to play for a little while. And obviously, that's going to be a difficult conversation for him and to have. But I don't know. He came back last time.
He did.
He came back the time before that.
He did.
He did jujitsu and all that kind of stuff to fall right and all this.
Yep.
And this was a different one than that because he didn't get slammed back. I mean, don't go head first over the middle trying to pick up a first down.
Exactly. And so, I mean, but the thing about it, a collision sport, it's hard to prevent collisions.
Yes.
Like, football is a dangerous-ass sport.
Absolutely. There's nothing but that right there.
But how did he do this last
year? That was just reckless.
It was just reckless. Get your ass down.
Yeah,
you know? Right. And I'm not blaming him for what happened.
No, I'm not. But I'm not. But you know the deal.
But you got to get
– you have to be able to avoid some things.
Yes.
And he go head first over the middle like that.
Yeah, and
like,
it's, again, these concussions scary. I remember watching Luke Kuechly cry.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was horrifying.
You know, that's horrifying to see that. And he walked away at his highest peak of powers. He was the best, maybe the best defensive player in the entire football league, and he couldn't do it anymore. They're scary. I've had them. I know what it's like to have a concussion. Did I report it? No, I'm shaking. I'm going back by my business. That's just what we did. They do a better job of identifying it, getting the player out. The players are nowadays, and I don't look at them as soft for doing it. As far as you getting a concussion, you get your bell rung, and you go to them and say, yeah, I'm not playing right.
We know more now about the long-term impacts of all that head trauma than we did 15, 20 years ago. The problem is there's no way of knowing what's happening up there as far as that goes inside your head until after you die.
And that's a crazy thing. I heard my man RC, he was talking about it. Yeah, we understand that there are ramifications down the line, maybe, possibly with these CT and all of those stuff. But at this moment, I'm not thinking about that.
No.
I'm not thinking about that right now. And they asked, well, now that you know all the stuff that you know and all this information, would you, and I put myself in there, would you, when you got your bell rung and all those different things, would you go back in the game, even though you know all this now? Hell yeah, because we did. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I'm going to go back in this football game. Can you play? Yep, I'll go play because this is what I do. This is something I've always wanted to do, and it's hard for us as whatever you want to call us to walk away from it. He got plenty of money, so it's not the money he's playing for.
No, he likes playing.
He
football.
He likes playing football.
and he's really good at it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's going to be it's a situation where I don't want to put myself in there. I wouldn't. I mean. Because my wife knows what it's like to have to take care of me after a game. Donna knows what it's like to have to – he can't get up, so I got to do that. I got to help him put his shirt on and all those different things. Because I've seen her look at me in the middle of the night when I'm over there hurting and head pounding and everything like that. And like, can I get you something, baby? No. I'm just going to suffer through this pain because I'm in pain because I did something that I loved yesterday. And so, it's a situation where – you know, if he's cleared, he's going to play.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. And it's up to him, too. You just have to hope that nothing bad happens again.
That's it.
That's it. That's all it is. You just have to hope nothing bad happens again. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Roddy Nabalsi going to join us next. UGASports.com every Friday at 11:40 to preview the Georgia Bulldogs' upcoming game. They travel. They're probably already up there. When do they go? When do they go to Lexington?
Today?
Yeah. All right. They're probably on their way, maybe. Up there to take on the Kentucky Wildcats tomorrow night. First SEC game of the year. We'll talk to Roddy about it next on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game.
Check my swag.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday. Coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. The beer currently just slightly colder than 28 degrees. I mean, come on.
Brain freeze territory, brother.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Brain
don't drink
freeze
that too
territory.
Fast. You're going to have a brain freeze, like Randy said. We'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Start looking ahead to some of the games on Sunday. Of course, the Falcons take on the Eagles on Monday Night Football, but Georgia travels to Kentucky tomorrow for the first SEC game of the year. Roddy Nabalsi joins us from UGASports.com every single Friday to break down the Bulldogs. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fine, man. Doing fine. I'm sure I look good. Feel good. Rest good. That's the way these Georgia Bulldogs look for two games. They look great. Now, that could change this Saturday. But, hey, for two games, to give up 6 points and to score 86-something points, that's they look fantastic right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's interesting that you bring that up, perfect that you bring it up, because that's kind of what I was going to ask you. Just, I know it's 2 weeks. Georgia has looked phenomenal. A couple other teams have looked really good as well. Has anything changed in terms of your idea as far as who the best team or teams in the country are after a couple of weeks?
Yeah, Michigan's out of my list. I thought Michigan, you know, like, hey, these guys are going to be, I know they're just defending national champions, you know. They're off the list. I expected Kentucky to be better than they are, not to say that they would be in that kind of national championship hunt, but they were kind of a disappointment. But Texas, oh, my God, they look really good. And Tennessee, people are sleeping on Tennessee. I know Georgia fans don't want to hear that, but they've got a real quarterback. That guy's going to be very, very dangerous every time you face him. So it's going to be a fun season for Georgia, considering they have to play that Texas team and that Tennessee team and that Alabama team and the Ole Miss with Jackson Dart. I went ahead and picked that song early because it's two games in and we haven't seen them go on the road yet. Yep. But I don't know if at the end of the year you're going to be able to say that with as much swagger as you have after week two.
What do you think of, I mean, because obviously it was going to be a blowout. We knew that. But I'm talking about some of the big plays that Georgia kind of, you don't see a lot of it. You know, them attacking downfield. Obviously, the big run by Etienne. I mean, was it because of the opponent, or do you think this should be more of an emphasis of what Georgia wants to do as far as they got the quarterback, they got good receivers to be able to take some of those big plays and put them into a game like this on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it's definitely the opponent was a big right. part of that. But then you also saw in the second half against Clemson, once they start to attack you deep, after they've established that they can get the, you know, short yardage stuff. I mean, you can't just start flicking the ball downfield and be looking at third and 10, you know, or second and 9 if the play doesn't work. So I've got no problems with them, you know, establishing the run with your mammoth offensive line and your stable of incredible running backs. So you should be able to say, look, we're going to show that we can pound you on the ground. We're going to bring those safeties up. We're going to bring those linebackers up. Then we're going to attack you on the edges, and we're going to go to the perimeter, and we got some they haven't even thrown screens yet. So it's Georgia's got a plethora of ways to attack you. And what I said last week was I love the fact that they've got a smorgasbord of guys to go to. You got 3 or 4 different backs that can torch. You got great wide receivers. You got good tight ends. And that's what we saw in those two championship runs. They had different guys who would step up. Same on the defense. You know, you go back to, like, William Poole knocking down a pass, you know, just out of Latavius Breeny, you know, just, look, hey,
yeah.
He had a huge play. Tay Crowder in the, go back to the game against Ohio and Oklahoma years and years ago. It's just you need those kind of role players to come on, and we've seen that. Now, when you get to those allow you to have those explosive plays. And what does Kirby Smart talk about all the time when you ask him, hey, how's this game going to pan out? He says, well, tell me how many turnovers and how many explosive plays we got.
How much of an emphasis do you think they have on trying to get out to a quick start? I know they were able to do that last week, but opponent and all that. Like, against better opponents last year, they didn't. Even against Clemson week one, it took till the second half to really get it rolling. How much do you think they really want to make sure they do that tomorrow against Kentucky?
You absolutely have to. I mean, I've covered that game at Kentucky for many, many years. It's always tighter than it is. The spread's 24. I'm picking Georgia not to cover that. And they might. They might go up there and just lay it to – Kentucky might have another bad game like they did against South Carolina. I just don't see it happening. When Georgia goes up there and plays, it is always tighter. I mean, the last four contests up there, you know, in Lexington, they've been decided by, like, what, 10.5 points on average. I mean, it's always it's a close game. Georgia was looking good. I mean, they won a title 2 years ago, but up there they only won by 10 points. So it's a you need to get that crowd out of it. You need to kind of keep them on their heels, thinking that, oh, here's South Carolina game all over again. Don't give them hope. And if you let them stay in the game, hope only continues to grow. So put them down early, get out of there without getting injuries, get into the bye week, and then get ready for Alabama.
What do you think about the, you know, there are two – you know, big dogs on that team right now. You talk about Dumas Johnson, obviously the quarterback, Brock Vandegrift. The emotions going into the game for them playing against their old team, even though they did get the hell beat out of last week by South Carolina. This one, Roddy, sometimes when you're playing your former team, something, and I know this from experience, something kind of, you know, makes you feel a little bit different about it.
I've known Brock for maybe 10 years. I've been covering that kid even when he was playing against my son in Little League. Brock Vandegrift is tough, and if he has a bad game, he is going to bounce back. He is not going to look like he did last week. Plus, I mean, they gave him I think they threw the ball, 10 times, completed six. It's just not that's not a Brock Vandegrift game. He is going to come back and show you what he's capable of. And again, he knows what Georgia's defense is like. He knows what they try to do. He's going to be able to look at a guy's hips and how they're lined up and know, okay, he's got inside leverage on this route, or, you know, what does Georgia like to do? Same with Dumas Johnson. He knows Georgia's offense backwards and forwards. He went up against it every day for 3 years. This guy is going to know how we run, how we throw the ball, how we do everything. So they've got a chip on their shoulder. You're right. You're playing your former team. You got to get that taste of South Carolina out of your mouth. And everybody's down on these two guys. Well, they're down on the whole team, but you really want they want to show out against their former teammates to show they didn't make a mistake by transferring, and they are superstars, and they're going to come out with their hair on fire.
Who do you expect to be available, maybe from an injury perspective tomorrow, and who won't be available for the Georgia Bulldogs?
The two biggest ones that are going to be out are Mikel and Warren Brinson. You know, having Mikel Williams out is huge. Yeah. But again, you want him to get ready for Alabama. Sit him out. He's been downgraded, as has Warren Brinson, you know, with that his Achilles issue. Kentucky's offensive line last week was terrible. I mean, they should be charged with a crime for letting Brock Vandegrift beat up so bad. That's, yep. I mean, that's accessories to assault or something. And not having two of your best defensive linemen out there, you have that feeling like, oh, it could have been so good if you just had those guys in there. But I'll give Christian Miller and Tyrone Ingram-Dawkins credit. They played great last week. They were everywhere. They looked good against Clemson as well. I think they're just going to tee off. And, I mean, Clemson does have a preseason all-SEC lineman, but even he got abused last week. So you got all your offensive guys are going to be out there. It's just a defensive line. Well, you're already thin that you're down four defensive linemen. So you're not really going to be able to take advantage of that Kentucky weakness like South Carolina did.
Hey, Roddy, I can't think of his name because I'm going to say it wrong. Number 8, the star. How important is it that he was back last week and having, you know, Malachi play more of his natural position at safety?
Janelle Aguero is the hardest hitter on the team. And I tried to get a bunch of guys to say that. And I was asking him in the preseason, who's the hardest hitter? And, of course, they do the same thing. Well, we all hit hard. Everybody hits hard. But then you get them off the video or off the record, they're like, oh, yeah, Janelle, he's a killer. So basically, you know, you have he's taking Javon Bullard's spot. So as just kind of that enforcer on defense, getting him back, letting Malachi roll back there, that really completes Georgia's defense. You saw how much better they looked with Janelle Aguero in on defense and Trevor Etienne running the ball. I mean, the guy had, what, 5 carries for 78 yards? I mean, he just getting warmed up.
Pretty explosive. So yeah.
Getting those two guys back, again, there's the explosive plays we talked about. They, you know, go deep or toss it to him. And, again, we haven't even started seeing the screen plays yet, so Georgia's still got a lot in their playbook that we haven't even seen. And same on the defensive side with Janelle Aguero back there. They run the defense that they want to, not the one that they had to.
Rodney DeBalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, UGASports.com. Joins us every Friday at 11:40 to get ready for the Georgia game on Saturday. Rodney, if Kentucky is as bad as they looked last week, it's been a couple years since the last double-digit win season. I know Stoops been there for a long time, but how long does it take before that seat gets a little warm?
That seat is already warm. That seat is hot because of the flirtations with Texas A&M earlier.
Right.
That was a hard flirt. I mean, people were reporting that he was taking the job. You know,
I remember.
Yeah. I don't know if it was his agent or, but you know, just bad reporting. But that trial balloon went out there, and there were people making a list of who his replacements are. And if you talk to people, you know, in Lexington and around there, they already have a list of who they want to go after. So he has to win big, or it's just like with every other coach. Once that wedge gets driven in the middle of the fan base, you can only win your way out of it. But you can, you know, it's just, it's hot. I'm sorry. I know he's been the best thing they've had, but a lot of people are feeling, you know, that he's a, they can't get over the hump with him. So the love has, I don't say it's evaporated, but it has dropped about 50% of where he used to be. Remember, they thought he was the greatest coach, you know, to ever be up there since, you know, Bayer. And now they're like, they're looking around.
Real quick, Rod, we got less than a minute. I wanted to get your thought process. We were talking the other day about coaching trees, and we're talking about Fran up there in Syracuse. What is it? Do you see, like, I know he got some good players, but do you see where he's trying to put this program as far as what he learned from Kirby?
Absolutely. Again, the toughness and the way they recruit, that's the best thing you can learn if you go become one of Kirby's staff. So you learn how he recruits and how he practices, and that translates to the field. Just it's his process. It's Nick Saban's process. And if you implement it anywhere, it's going to be successful.
Rodney, we appreciate it,
my
as
boy.
Always. Thank you.
Appreciate it, my boy.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Rodney DeBalsi there every single Friday at 11:40 with good stuff. A little injury intel there about who's going to play tomorrow and who might not. UGASports.com, always good stuff. Just kind of looking at Mark Stoops' record. They had those 4 straight bowl wins between 18 and 21.
Right.
They went 10-3 in 18, 10-3 in 21. I mean, Citrus Bowl, that's good stuff.
Right.
Last couple of years, bowl losses, 7-6, 7-6. Got smoked last week at home against South Carolina, like Roddy's talking about. I mean, I think we came on air one day when Texas A&M was looking for a coach.
Remember that?
We thought he was the guy.
And
it was reported,
it was reported that he was the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was not a sexy hire, but he's had a lot of success in the conference. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough, man. You flirt and almost leave and then don't back it up with winning the next year.
Yo. That's why when he said that, oh, no, really?
Yeah. You remember who he took over for?
It wasn't Hal. Kentucky? He didn't take over for Hal.
Joker Phillips.
Okay.
The last coach.
Okay. I was like, no,
Hal. That's just an awesome name.
Hal. Yeah. That was, his face was,
Hal hadn't been there since 2000.
When he, oh, God. Was that
Guy Morris, Rich Brooks.
Was that the guy from Rich Brooks? That's what I'm thinking about.
Rich Brooks was in there.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, Joe, what a good football name, though, Joker Phillips. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Plenty to discuss as it is a action-packed Sunday in the National Football League. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.